morning, everyone. I think we can start our meeting. Welcome to the meeting. And I want to make a policy that you have joined. The environment, the season is not conducive now for any reasons. I think that many people, you know, we all not so committed to your work. I believe as long as you're getting a salary, you must work for that salary. Because there's the end of God also. You will see you doing your work. He will also look after you. But you don't want to, you want to be here if you don't want to be here. But let's proceed to the presentation of the nation itself and the other members will join us. We can start with the introduction. Let me first deal with the apologies. I received 3 apologies on the vote of 4. Those are the 3 apologies. I'm Ellen Prince, and as you all know, for the past 5 years I am the chairperson of Communication and Public Enterprise. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, and good morning. My name is Uli Fille Safako, member of this committee, and I'm from Northwest.
Thank you very much. Can I give over to the department and the legal advisors and who else is in the building? Please introduce yourself. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members. My name is Advocate Merashton Makore. I'm the acting DVG for legal and governance at the Department of Public Enterprises. I'm accompanied by Mr. Denzel Mashila, who's a director, legal counsel in the Department of Public Enterprises. He will take us through the presentation, but just as introductory remarks, government took a decision to dispose of Aventura, and it was done through a liquidation process. Now, the last process is the appeal of the Overbound Resource Act, which is the act that actually brought Aventura into being. I'll hand over to Mr. Magina to just take us through the details of the presentation.
Can we proceed with the introductions first? Where's the legal? Can you please introduce you again?
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mr. Bagadia. I'm from the Legal Services Department.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Fatima Ibrahim, a parliamentary legal advisor.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Jose Linderes.
Good morning, Bule Lampekani, Secretary of the Public.
Thank you.
So
maybe introduce yourself and answer. We can proceed. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not the acting DG, the acting DG is with some advocate.
I know.
Just to repeat, Chair, my name is Denzel Mantila. I'm the director in the Department of Legal, in the Department of Public Enterprises. I'm going to be taking you through the presentation on what we request in Parliament to assist us, which is the repeal of the Obama Resort Act, which is the act, which was the funding act for what was commonly known as Aventura. Just by way of brief background, Chair and Honourable Members, this is one matter where the Department is dealing with what one can call some of the legacies, you know, that the Department has had to close on, and it's been abstaining for quite a long time, but it needs closure. The reason being, Aventura, as we might all know, has been sold lock, stock and barrel. And as part of finalizing the closure, it's also necessary to also to repeal the legislation, which was the funding legislation for Aventura. By way of background, Chair, I'm going now to the presentation. Chair, it was the policy of government around 2000-2001 to restructure state-owned entities. Some would call it, some were calling it, or it was commonly known as privatization. Aventura was one of the resources that government identified as being a fit for disposal. The reason being, government at the time said it did not have the capability to run hotel and leisure. And number two, government was of the view that some of the Aventura resorts were loss-making, so it was only in its best interest to dispose it of. There were other imperatives that changed that you might know around those times. There were even issues like wanting to empower physically disadvantaged groups through some of the sales of the state-owned assets, and as well as also reduce the national debt at that time. Those were just some of the policy imperatives that were informing the decision by government to sell some of the state-owned assets, including Aventura. So on 22 August 2001, Cabinet took that decision to dispose Aventura Resort. Aventura, as you may know, Chair, it had a total of about 15 resorts at that time. Six of the resorts, we made a mistake, six, not seven, because I think six plus eight makes 15. Six of the resorts were disposed to different purchasers. And if I can indicate, Chair, in those six that were disposed and were among the first to be disposed, it was those that were really making serious losses. So government said it was necessary to dispose them as a matter of urgency, because government was of the view that they could not be turned around. Then the remaining eight, which were one could call the flagship, who were not doing badly, then they were all sold to one bidder in 2003 in the name of Forever Company, which is an American company and which had a BEE arm called Siomaba. So the consortium was called Forever Siomaba. So they bought the eight. The eight in question were the resorts that were based in Limpopo, Chipinge, the resorts that were based in Mpumalanga, Blydenburg, Swadini, Bad Plus, and Loskop Dam. The resort that was based in the Free State, Harit, the resort that was based in the Western Cape, Plettenberg, Blay, Barambat, which is Lavida, yes. Yeah, those were the eight that were the subject of the same to Forever Resort. However, difficulties were encountered in trying to dispose of those assets as possible as soon as government wanted to. There were a number of challenges. One of the challenges being the land claims, the improper descriptions of the property, just to indicate a few. If I can indicate, Chair, among those results that I have mentioned, there were land claims in Blydenburg in Mpumalanga, there was a land claim in Bad Plus in Mpumalanga, and there was another land claim in Chipinge in Lenta. Those were the three that were subjected to the land claims. So the difficulty was finding a common ground between the land claimants and the purchasers of the Aventura. So it really had a dilatory effect in terms of having those resorts disposed of as a matter of agency. With regard to the property description, the difficulty that was encountered is as follows. If you look at the other insurers found in legislation. It's got full proper description of where those resorts are. But now when the reconciliation of those assets was done at the deeds office, it was found out that what the deeds office contained was totally different from what is set out in the actual legislation of the bank. So that reconciliation process really took a long time to, it was very, very difficult to resolve. The other issue is that you find some of the resorts, they were called Aventura, but upon trying to sell them, it was found that they were still registered in the name of the government of the Republic of South Africa. So it meant you had to transfer them first to Aventura before then you could sell them to Forever Resort. So those are some of the difficulties really that caused the delay. So because this was really having a negative effect, to try to attempt to resolve this issue, the parties decided to enter into an addendum to the sale agreement sometimes in 2007 to try to resolve some of the issues. The idea was that by entering into that, some of the most if not all the problems will go away. But unfortunately, as it were, it turned out that the addendum was not a panacea to all the problems that were encountered. So it then really posed a serious problem for Aventura to eventually be, or one could say it was sold to Forever Resort. Now, because of those difficulties and the impossibility of having of finding closure on this particular matter, then governments were advised, and it was advised that maybe the best possible way then to close on Aventura was through a liquidation process. It was then that the department minister to get a resolution at the shareholders meeting in 2012 to dispose Aventura by way of a liquidation. The liquidation process started, and then it managed to finalize the liquidation of Aventura. As I'm talking to you, Aventura has now been wound up, and now it's been now, it's now with Forever Resort. Now, like I indicated at the beginning, Chair, to bring a complete closure to this winding up, given that Aventura is no longer exists, it's no longer an entity, it also became necessary as well to repeal the act that was founding it, and that is why we are here. We have also begun the process, as you may have seen from our presentation. We gazetted the act. We never got any comments from our side as a department. We presented the bill to the portfolio committee, and then there were issues that the portfolio committee raised, because I think the portfolio committee did have its own public hearings, and then the department has been trying to resolve some of these issues. But I need to indicate, Chair, that when we were at the portfolio committee, the chief legal advisor was requested to come to the meeting. He did indicate that whatever problems, whatever issues are there, does not stand in the way of repealing this particular piece of legislation like your land case. He still say, on his advice, meaning the state advisor, that the repeal can still continue, but nonetheless, the department will still have to cooperate with its sister department in trying to resolve whatever issues may still be outstanding, which really does not have the direct impact on the repeal as such. I think that brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Is there any question that you want to put? So, what about the claimants, the three land claims issues within this? How is it going to affect if you're going to appeal this?
Yeah,
how are they going to
protect their rights? As you know, Chair, whether you buy a property today or you may have brought it tomorrow, if it turns out that somebody has got a right to a claim, he can still institute it. But just to take you briefly through the issue, the results that are subjected to land claims. Like I indicated, there are three results that are subjected to land claims. The Chibiza one in Limpopo, the one in Bad Plus, and the Blayer Port as well. It's also in Mpumalanga. Now, if I can start with the one in Bad Plus. An attempt has been made by according to it, because you might, as you might recall, Chair, now when it comes to the issue of the resolution of the land lease, that is not our territory. It's not the Department of Rural Development. But nonetheless, they are government, so we have been trying to liaise with them to find out as to how far they are. You may have seen from the report that we did with the Portfolio Committee last year after we liaised with Rural Development and the reforms, the advice given was that the matter was at an advanced stage, a settlement was about to be entered with the claimant's community, and that hopefully it was going to be resolved soon. But unfortunately, things have turned the other way now. When we last checked, just before we came here, apparently the communities to whom that land belongs to, number one, is divided. Two, the list of people who are the claimants is not valid. So it's our understanding that the court has ruled that much as yes, the claim is valid, the list of the claimants has got to go and to be fixed before this thing can move forward. Initially, this land was the claimant were going to have this land held on their behalf in terms of a trust. But now, because of the difficulties that are there, the court has ruled that that trust as well is invalid because the claimants, apparently some of them who got there, they got there illegally, if I can use that. They were not the proper claimant. So the court has ruled that the community must go back and resolve properly as to who the valid claimant, and only once that is done can then the claim proceed ahead. So that's where the difficulty is at the moment. With regard to Chibise, things as well, we have been informed that they have moved, as you may have seen from our report, there was never any difficulty, whatever. But unfortunately, we have not been getting the latest feedback. You know, we have been trying our best to liaise with the Land Commissioner of Limpopo, but he has not been in the position to come back to us. But as you can see, the last time when we spoke to them, the indications that were given to us was that everything was above board, they were waiting for a settlement offer from the community, so from the landowner, and also check with the community as to whether they were that was acceptable. That is also part of the responsibility of the Department of Land Affairs. With regards to Bladeboer, the situation is slightly different. What happened there is that, if I can give a bit of background check, an agreement had been entered into with the community when this forever resort was sold, but which needed to be endorsed by the Minister of Land Affairs. Minister of Land Affairs, when he re-looked at the agreement that was entered into at that time, he was not satisfied. He felt that the community were being ripped off. Because if I remember, well, I can't remember quite honestly, but he was of the view that the community was not really getting a benefit out of that, and he decided that he should not go ahead. Now, what then happened, because this matter has also been outstanding for a long time, we engaged the Department of Public Works, because you see the land now, given that the claim could not go ahead, the land where the Bladeboer is situated is still resides in the Department of Public Works up until it can be transferred to the community. So then the agreement was pending the resolution of this claim. Public Works then are the ones who are best placed to enter into a lease agreement with the Forever Resort up until the issue of the dispute or among the community members is resolved. Now, we engaged the Department of Public Works and Forever Resort last year. That was last year, I think around September or so. During that meeting, there was a lot of information that Public Works requested before it could enter into a lease agreement. A lease agreement which obviously is going to be very favorable to the community. They wanted to find out, from just to give an example, how much has Forever invested in the area, how much will it still be investing going forward, you know, those kind of information. Because they will say that kind of information will help Public Works to determine the market price for the lease agreement. Yeah. So there was a lot of information that was required from Forever Resort through our intervention, of course. But unfortunately, Forever Resort is indicated that they've given Public Works all the information that was required, but now obviously it's Public Works now that's taking a little bit of time now to actually go in forward. So that's where we are on the project.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
all the other insurers and the Department of Public Works as well of the question.
Public Works or public enterprise?
I hear you mentioning public works.
Okay.
There was a land belonging to public works for all the other insurers.
Okay.
The second one is, let's go to an insurer which I'm familiar with, the area not far from Settlers, which is which was normally known as Belaglia. There is a community there for Makapan with the Communal Property Association known as Makula. There are pockets of land that they've claimed. I'm not sure whether the other insurer was also perhaps falling under that claim, because we'll be talking of the property, not mentioning a number of hectares, the piece of land as to the ownership of the building together with the land that is attached to that area. And then how many in terms of hectares, also how many, because the communities next to these insurers suffered this forceful removals. And there is also equally not a real compensation that has been made when this privatization is taking over. What do we call it? Privatization. But the last one is to look at the Overall Resort Act 127 of 1993. When it was a bill, just want to check what was the taking. Was it a 7.6 or a 7.5? Because if we entertain and get into it, as the select committee representing the interests of provinces, to now say we must equally also go back to our provinces, go back to the community and engage them. Let me just pause there, Honorable Chair.
Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Sesako. I'll answer number one and two and leave my post to answer number three. The situation is as follows. you know, when there are land claims, like I indicated, in Shippies, Park Plus, and whatever, by and large, some of those land claims today have not gone ahead because the dispute among the communities themselves. They can't form the chart. Yeah, the infighting, that causes a problem. Now, what happens is, for as long as there are disputes like those, it means the land cannot be transferred to the community. And for as long as the land is not transferred to the community, it still resides with government and it's held by the Department of Public Works on behalf of government. So where there are no disputes, you know, like your present day and all those things, there's no problem. The land would have been held by government. Obviously, all of them, yes, it was public works, but it would have been transferred. So in this particular case, Blade Court, because of those kind of disputes as well, still resides with the public works up until the land claims dispute and everything else has been resolved. So that is the issue. You can also say the same for GPs and even the others, because no resolution has been found as yet. They have not been transferred. With regards to number two, Farabat, there was never any land claims on Parambat. That's why we never had any problems with the community. Okay.
Yes, Madam.
Bella Bella.
Bella.
Yeah, Bella Bella. Sorry, Chair, I call it their own name, Bella Bella.
But it is a very busy resort.
It's so, it was one of the flagships, yes.
Yeah, but what happened there?
It is still running, Chair, but now owned by Forever Resort. It is sold.
Yeah, I understand.
People still go there. It's still popular.
But you know what I don't understand? I really don't understand why, if things is in the hands of government, if I read through the echo. They were saying it must be in the hands of government. Anyway, there was a reason why at the time government decided to put all those resorts under government.
Yes.
To help our people who were not part of the, you know, the economy of the time. Also to, I don't understand why the thing's not working. But as soon as you privatize the thing is working, there's movement and there's everything is going. I struggle to understand. Myself, I was saying I would love to have a resort. I mean, it's just a thinking of me. Why, in your view, looking at the state-owned entities, they're not working as soon if you transfer the things. It is working. Why is the officials who is appointed and the DGs, acting DGs, you can tell, not eager to make things work where government is? I mean, there is a reason why we're putting these things under the government.
Chair, you are raising an interesting aspect, but I would imagine people like Honorable Sefapo would agree with me with what I'm going to say now. Chair, let's face it. Aventura, when they were first established before 1994, they were never intended to empower black people. Definitely. There's no question about it. They were intended for the white minorities at that moment in time. That's really the purpose for which they were intended. But now, to come back to your question as to why certain things, once they go to government, they no longer work. I think you're right, Chair. Your observation is right. It's quite a number of things. Sometimes it's because of mismanagement, sometimes it's because of corruption, things like that. But the other issue is this, Chair. Our state-owned entities are not like your private sector. Private sector, they are looking at the bottom line to make profit, and that's it. It's either you work or you don't work. But with our SOC, the bottom line is not the only issue. We're also looking at things like your developmental roles, you know, to empower people and that kind of a situation. So that itself sometimes has got a barely, you know. So because you're not only looking. Private sector is either you make money or you don't. Government is a different story. It might be money, but you also have to look at people's issues and things like that. Maybe let me give to my advocate Makobe too.
But also I think it must be noted that there's nothing inherently inefficient with having some of these entities under government. And there's nothing inherently efficient in the private sector that cannot be done in the public sector. But I think what motivated government to dispose of this one in particular was because it was regarded as not core to government. Because the decision at that time was to be one of the core assets or business that can be retained and what are the non-core. And the decision was taken that, you know, I think for government to be in the leisure business is non-core. Maybe just to answer Honorable Sefako's point, you know, I know that area of the coming from the Waho, I know that area very well. But with regard to the taking, I think we agreed with the Chief State Law Advisor's view that this is a Section 75 The fact that it takes Section 75 is still a requirement that it goes both to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces for consideration. So that's the view that the Chief State Advisor has expressed, a view which we concur with.
Chair, maybe let me just apologize that we don't have the copy. The copy of the bill should have been made part of this so that you can also see how it's taken. Our apologies for that, but we'll make a copy available later after this meeting.
Okay. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Chair,
Is
there any input what you were saying? I'm still on this. Looking at SAA, you know, I don't know others, but I'm not going to a place without observing what is going on. Even if I'm walking out here, I will observe certain things. Looking at SAA and looking at ailing officers, if you're going to ailing officers at the ailing, the professionalism there, the way the people treat the versus standing at SAA, you will stand there and the lady will take over from one ship to the other. Let you stand there. I was standing behind the gentleman, was standing there for long at the ticket office. The woman was opening her bag, she was doing this, doing her hair, yeah, in front. She's coming in now to take over from the woman who's going out. Now, I think that is part of the thing. If you're working for government, hello? I'm not serious. It's a job for me. I don't have interest to make it work. And that was my observation. Being at the air link, they were so willing to help me now, and, you know, assisting me because... I'm just saying, we must really try to teach our people the importance, government versus also business out there, the faith of the organization out there, and you must uphold them. You see? And that makes me think that's why the aircraft, what is it now, was grounded.
Yeah.
They struggled.
SA Express
was going down because of all of those kinds of attitudes, you know, standing there, people. And this poor gentleman, I think it's a foreigner, he was standing and he was looking around and without, maybe he was afraid to raise his voice and say, hello, I'm late, I'm waiting, I want to... And I was standing there and I was looking and I wanted to say, but hello, yes, people waiting. But I wanted to see how long it will take for her to assist this poor. At the end of the day, without any assistance, another gentleman came to call in because they were in a hurry and looking for someone to ask for help. And this is the kind of attitude that we're seeing in the state-owned companies. That's why I'm saying part of the other things is the attitude of our staff in those companies. Sometimes with our shares when we're going on oversight. How they treated us as members of parliament in those entities. Make it, they are bigger than us. Who are you? And they can agree with me at Transnet, we were in them like, but I'm just saying, it is my observation. Over to you, Honorable. I'm going to give you, Honorable Safaku, and then Honorable Julius, because he's still writing.
Yeah, I just want to say, pardon me for ignorance. Here is the bill for the copy of secretary. But maybe perhaps going to the conflicts among the community, which causes unnecessary delay. The poor communities remain poor. When there are opportunities for them to at least to reap the benefits of what wealth of the schemes. The point now remains as to what is to be done collectively. Politicians, academy, how do we engage those aspects of the expertise of conflict management and trying to bring community together, lock them in one room, and then perhaps a thorough discussion where ultimately there can be a lasting solution, but coming from within that particular community. Because indeed, this is very, very much disappointing. And it is all over throughout the country. Lazy people, unfortunately, are the ones that act. If you look at the history of our communal property associations, arable land that has been very, very productive, are very, very few. There is one around that particular area of Gelabela, which is indeed doing very well, very productive and successful communal property association, which is the Makula one. Agriculture, they've got a poultry plant, which is doing very, very successfully. But, what I'm very appealing is how best can these communities that are having serious conflict, which is not even benefiting, what is it that we can do? All of us, politicians, as a member of the community, Hosi, and all the stakeholders together, let's help one another to make sure that the people benefit from this land without fighting one another. Thanks. Is that the comment?
Thank you, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Julius. Thank you,
Chairperson. Once again, apologies. I just an observation on this, transfer of state-owned entities that I think is necessary. BBBEE is necessary in our country at this stage, but I don't see how. If I take, for instance, let's just take Mr. Leslie Makubela. Mkabela. Who gets it right to empower an already empowered person? People that are, they have cases pending. Just last year, the minister received a forensic report on this person that he commissioned Minister Natin Tetwa, this member of Mr. Makubela is actually a member of the Council of National Film and Video Foundation that this committee actually oversees, and unauthorized expenditure and so forth. You can't have a situation where certain individuals only benefit out of these projects. You can't have a situation like that. And on top of that, you get cases of fronting that's equally wrong. So my biggest gripe and issue that I need clarity on, Chairperson, when will the necessary authorities make sure that you come to a committee of parliament and give us background on the beneficiaries? I need background on the beneficiaries. Who will benefit? Because it's clear Mr. Leslie Makubela do not need another BBBEE deal. There are millions of South Africans. We know the inequality in our country. There are communities that can benefit from these deals. Why do we give it to individuals? to individuals, it tells me, Chairperson, that inside there's something going on. People are steering it to a person and they get kickbacks or they get shares in those companies through illegal means. And that is not what Parliament is about. That is not what BBBE is about. That is not why the whole exercise of letting go of these SOEs is in the first place. That's not what it's about. So can I just get clarity? Whether there are mechanisms to make sure that these beneficiaries are beneficiaries that fit the description of BBBE. How do you make sure that it's not fronting? Are you able to make sure that it's not fronting? Now you're able to make sure that it's the very same people that get the benefits all the time. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, honorable member. I'm going to allow you to respond on this elevation. I think we need more time because I do understand why you want to get involved. But we achieved nothing. We cannot, after 25 years, okay, we come in here with a boom and we are going to do this and this for this. You know, certain group people will listen to it. And now we say, now we are giving it over and what. There must be, I hope in the sixth parliament, the honorable member that is coming in will be more serious about government business to transform this new South Africa. Really. Really, if you're looking around you and you're looking at all the poverty and people struggling, the hunger, children, that's why people are saying they are praying, they want to have a prayer meeting to pray that the ANC must be out of power. People mustn't vote the ANC because that's a perception out there. And we explain, I went, I had a door-to-door drive Sunday on my own, I took a few people. Why I convinced 7 people who voted DA to vote for the ANC? Because I was saying, I'm not coming to make promises. We are doing the stuff. That's what we did. Tell me what we are not doing right. You see? And people tell you what we're doing right, and I have to convince. But then what you're telling about the corruption, and what you're seeing on TV, Osaka is now a fashion world. Even though I was shocked, the community that I was doing door to door was, I thought they doesn't have any knowledge to know about it. But I was saying that the independent body was dealing with the stuff. Now I must defend the people and I must protect whatever there is to protect. Because obviously the organization itself is not corrupt, but the people in there. What can we do? We must really do something to the people. Because at the end of the day, we were sitting with nothing. And we will be back where we were. I'm telling you seriously. The people is fed up out there. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry that I'm speaking like a politician, because when I'm going out there, I must defend. But it's hard because I'm not in the department who's doing all this nonsense.
Especially because when the province got closer to the people.
Yes.
It's even
closer, to the
closer to the issue, yes. To the people.
And we take seriously your comments on the Chairperson, which are very much profound. But may not go to...
Just on a point of order.
Yeah,
I know you expected it, but I tried to keep quiet because I allowed you to make but from the side of our entities, it's not profound. It's a political statement. I'm a member of the DA and not the ANC. I don't agree with it.
Okay.
So you can't say it's profound and agree with the statement that the ANC is not corrupt. I might say that they are corrupt to the core, but I don't want to. So So let's just keep that balance.
Now,
listen, we're going to take each other now because we have been about Ellen Prince in the park.
Honorable Juliet, I was referring to the issues with regard to the identities. Not on that or on the other ones. I'm not qualified to comment on that. It was just the issues on our entities and the challenges thereof. And I think the issues that you have raised with regard to the in the transactions that we do, including this one, we make sure that there's a BEE complement. But what is also critical is that even that BEE component must go through a competitive process. You know, people are free to bid and submit their bids there. Now, it becomes very difficult when you have an open competitive process to tailor make it for a particular group. People must compete fairly. You know. But what is disappointing, like even with Aventura, is that we've got a BE component, they are in the business, and they decide to sell in the metal, you see. And they get 50 million and they run away and they sell it to this group. And they don't tell government. We're empowering them. We say, take this percentage, 30%. They take it after a while, they sell it, take the 60 million. And it becomes a problem, and they send it to the group that is not transformative. So it becomes very difficult to regulate this. Because we put it in the agreement, you know, the sale agreement that you must have 30% of the company gets there. They are part of the management, they are part of the running, but they send it, you know. But we will have to be creative and innovative, but also take into consideration that it's an open and competitive process that takes into place. But given as a homework to think on future transactions. How do we empower the community? Because the important thing is the communities who are living there, when are they going to own these particular resources? When are they going to own these businesses? So it's something that we need to really look at.
Yeah, it is my problem,
yeah.
Honorable Julius, because in the past I can still experience there was a resort close to where I was growing up. We have to, underneath at the river side, play there because we couldn't go to any resort. Now that it's open, we're messing it up. I'm emotional because, you know, we're picking up all kinds of stuff. I came during my visit in the area above there, a woman. Now I must go because some of my people is selling houses. You must bring 15,000 if you want government house. Bring 15,000 and then for the option to rent and then later to buy. You know, all this kind of, I couldn't believe. I'm getting the information because now I have to get the address of the woman because I want to, spoke to my Vigilela. But now I've asked her, where do you stay now? The house doesn't have addresses. But she explained, now I want to come because when I'm working in that area, when I'm tired, I'm not drinking water from everywhere. Then I can come to your place to eat something, just to get the information now to attack this problem. You see? So, my problem is we are the people who's doing oversight responsibility. But I don't think it's effective enough to deal with the things, because the things that are happening there within the community. You know, we must actually have a body who is going to, because we do have policies, we do have putting things in place in the housing act and what to, but the implementation and the things, people is sitting with 10 houses, smuggled, stuck, mandrakes, what, I'm like a police informant. I must go to, they will tell me, Ellen, you must go there, just a house. He bought a house from there. You know, to get all the information. Now that is my problem. Government will do all the good things, but, and there is policies in place, but who is watching what people is doing? Because people is not coming out to care. And we are building houses, and people doesn't have houses, but there's people who sell the houses every day. And that people, they be saving 2 houses. Now my call is, where is the policy of government saying, where is the system in place? who can track on your ID number that you have more than one house. I'm just saying that is the kind of things that we need to look, even in the departments where you are, even if it doesn't affect you. There is a thin line that of corruption people out there that we don't even know about. And we only experience when we're going door to door, the people will tell you all the stories about whatever. And at the end of the day, it's our tax money. It's not where government tax money, the money is coming from us. They're stealing from us. So I'm just saying, within your department, or where you decide, or when makes or you must really look at the options, because we cannot move on like that. But we must have people, grounded people, like the police have people giving information, they are on the safe road, giving information, you know? Something like that. Because you won't believe what is going on and people know what is going on. Thank you very much. And this is one of the serious things what he was writing about people. It's using, there is still, the people is still using this frontier thing. We're sitting with a law. But the implementation, the accountability of that law is not implemented. So why are you making laws to deal with the problem, but there is no action on that implementation? People, like I'm telling you now, is still using frontiers to get money from now. Honorable
Julius? Yes, Chairperson, I think on that one, I totally agree with you that there are policies in place that people do not benefit on the ground, right? And that causes a big problem for us.
Exactly.
And I think we as a committee, we're trying our level best to go out there and look at these things. So I think we need to be more careful. You know, I agree with you, but also disagree on one aspect that you don't need to be creative. You use what you already have, because we have ways of looking at corruption and so forth, you know. If you look for this same person, Cabela, based in Cabela, this property has something to do with land. He's a lawyer for the land bank. Couldn't you see that? Anyone can see that. Why is this person now the beneficiary? He's a lawyer for the land bank. How can you get that through? It's corruption. Corruption from our officials and the beneficiaries. Because we're taking it for ourselves. You know, your job is to empower the people. But we are empowering ourselves first. That is the biggest problem that we're sitting with in South Africa now, rooting out these things, because it's easy. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to see that, hey, that's a slang and a grassies. It's a land bank lawyer and is now applying for this. He's also a member of the council for the film and whatnot board. You know, he's way too involved in government to receive. On top of that, he's already wealthy enough. Yes. You understand? There are other people that can benefit from that. Now, one burden is a problem for me. One burden, and it's that company. You know, those kind of things that we need to iron out. I don't think there's enough oversight when the department has this. If a person can just, you know, run through the processes with corrupt means, who's checking on them? And we rely heavily, Chairperson, on the department itself, on our entities itself, our COOs, CEOs, to check these things, CFOs, to look at these things. It's not a complicated thing. Just give the committee a letter to say,
We are not happy about this game we see. We can discuss it and come to you and say, right, we are equally not happy because X, Y, and Z. You don't just need to take everything that they sent you. There are ways to get through a corrupt free system. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I don't know whether you wanted to respond or say something, because I don't think it needed to answer, but it's just the frustration you must accept. We are sitting here and people think we must protect them. So how are we protecting them if we cannot influence things that is before you? And say, no, we are not agreeing with this thing. It cannot be, because how are you protecting certain people in whatever? And that is my frustration. Because people expect you to be here to be their voice and to see that everything is going according to so that is my frustration, and I think all of us are sharing the same frustration. I thank you very much for the presentation. As you know, we hope that we will have a forum to deal with. Okay. Are we going to the submissions now? You want to read it out loud? Okay. Thank you. Can we then deal and go to the submissions so that legally you can take in the department responding to the submissions? If you differ or agree or whatever. Or like you were saying, maybe it's not within your space anymore now. How could the space of your department? Thank you. Over to you.
With regard to the BNR, the committee has received only one public comment. It was from the Forever Consortium, based in the Economic Empowerment Forum. I think everyone has had a copy of the summary. The issue with regard to the Forever Consortium BE Forum was that initially when government decided to dispose of Aventura, there were agreements to effect a transformation consultative forum was created and decisions were taken. One of the decisions was to ensure that the sale will involve an employee share ownership scheme, and there are other issues also that were involved in that transformation consultative forum, including the fact that the sale must also meet the BEE requirements. On their complaint, the Forever Consortium is that after the sale, it appeared that the Siunwaba Consortium, which was the BEE partners for Forever Resort, was actually a funding, that is their concept. They alleged that in the minutes that they obtained, I don't know how, a certain Mr. Kobas did reveal that the intention of Forever Resort was actually to own all the assets of Ventura with disregard to the BE partnership. And as a result of that, they had to buy the Sonora Consortium share of 30% at 16 million. And this was done in December 2008. There were a number of other issues that Forever Consortium, BE Forum, that they raised, such as non-compliance with debts, regulations, the seller and purchaser agreement, which was raised, as well as the BEA. And then at the submission apparently to the committee that in terms of the Companies Act, the committee should appoint an inspector to investigate what had happened in terms of the financial interest of the resort, of the Forever Resort, in terms of shares, who controls the company. There are a number of issues. But apparently it appears that
their submissions stem from other issues that are not relevant to their submission. There is somewhere in the documents where they send us, because this is a summary, where apparently one of the complainants was taken to the High Court in terms of defamation. That is the submission from the Forever Consultant PE Forum. I think that is all. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I take over for the media? Thank you, Chairperson. We've considered the submission as received, but I just wanted to explain to the honourable members and to the committee that there's two things that we need to distinguish here. The first is that there's a principal piece of legislation that set up the establishment of the Overval Resource Company. The purpose of that act was merely to allow government to hold these assets and to run the company. What happened subsequently, as the department explained, was that government took the policy decision that they no longer wanted to be in the business of resource, and the company eventually was liquidated. So currently, as it stands, government has no ownership or any links to these resorts at all, whatsoever. The only thing that remains where we have any rights is the right of servitude over some of the pieces of land. Now, servitude right is merely a right to use a road within a private area. So it means you can't be blocked from doing that. That is what's being retained. So whilst there are many problems that still exist from the sale that happened many years ago, and we don't deny that, it has no bearing on the repeal of this legislation. If we take the decision today that we are not going to support this bill, all that would happen legally is that we still have a stale act on the statute book that serves absolutely no purpose. The fact that you make a decision not to repeal is not going to assist any of these claimants in any way whatsoever. So I think two things are being confused here. So my own view, and it's the view that I've given the PC when we advised there, was that it's better that we clean the statute book. That's what we've been trying to do, especially in this parliament, is to get rid of all these old pieces of legislation that serve no purpose. That being said, Chair, I don't think it's a matter that must fall off the agenda. That I don't agree with. There's a constitutional duty of oversight. In this case, the department is correct to say that they are not the correct department to be tackling the issues that have been left over. That's in fact public work. Because they owned the property initially, and then the Department of Rural Affairs and Land Reform. So certainly there needs to be some sort of oversight process over those two departments to see what they are doing to try and rectify these issues. But the issues raised, particularly in the submission chain, as it relates to the Companies Act, the liquidation was done in accordance with the Companies Act. So if there were any issues at that point, it should have been raised at the time. Parliament can't backtrack now. We can't undo the fact that the company has already been liquidated. I'm not saying that the claims then are not valid. They may have claims, they may be able to prove fraud and other common law offences, the things about the land. All of those things courts will gladly entertain. Parliament is not the place necessarily to entertain those. So my advice, Chair, is that we proceed with the repeal, otherwise the bill lapses and it's added to the load of the sixth parliament unnecessarily on the one hand, but on the other hand is that there be some sort of continued oversight to see how these matters are being resolved, particularly with the land claim. This issue as raised by this particular submission can be challenged in a court if they have proof that there was fraudulent activity. The Parliament wouldn't be able to assist further in that change. Thank you. Thank you very much for clarification. But also, I think we need to reply on the submission. We cannot just say nothing to do alone and keep quiet. I think the guidance of the clarity that you're giving us must go to the people who submit this piece of legislation and explain to very sorry for the people in Goa.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. I think in fact what the state law advisor said is also what I needed to say, to say let's separate the two
mm-hmm.
issues. The issues that have been raised in the submissions have got no direct bearing on the relief. But that aside, what I wanted to say is, even though we are going ahead with the relief, we are not turning a blind eye on the issues that, yeah. Just to give you a few shares, the complaints that those people have raised, they have been referred to the department. We are attending to them. I can just give you that comfort. For instance, I'm meeting with them on the 4th of March, just to give them a feedback, separate from this process of the review, to say the issues that you raised around the 30% and the ESOS,
mm-hmm.
this is how far we go. So I thought I should just indicate that it does not mean we are, yeah, but it's separate from this. So I'm meeting them on the 4th.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are talking to them, yes. We are not saying we'll succeed, but we have to give them a feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We have also been engaging forever. We have written formally to forever on the issues that they raised. That is why on the 4th of March I'm meeting those people to give them a feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to help them, I will assist them. I will even give them a loan.
No, I must assist them.
Yeah, we cannot throw our people just away. We must assist them.
Yes.
Because maybe at the time they didn't understand what was happening. You know, clearly, we don't know the consortium, what is consortium, any consortium liquidation. Some of our people don't know what understand liquidation. We just assume that people understand this thing. You must really simplify for our people. They didn't, it was for white people at that time. We didn't have a property to talk or to know about liquidation at the time. So how can you expect? I'm sitting with a lot of people who were injured at work. The other day I had to go, and when I look at the paper, it's a mess, but I had to deal with it. I must guide them which way they must go in now, because the farmer just threw the papers, the correspondence that came, and he reported the incident in the bin. And the woman used to work in the kitchen that time. She picked it up and she kept it. For so many years she kept it. She tried. But we must help our people. Our people don't understand these things. But anyway, so I'm glad that you're going to it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Seeing that we are coming into the parliament, I'm getting some clarity. Because our report that we received from our researchers in the NCOP, not actually specifically speaking on the hull and the issue that just gives us a broad history and aims there, so I wanted more information actually on that. The taking of the bulk, 76, and can we have
75.
Is it 75 bulk?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not affecting provinces. Nevertheless, we still need public participation.
Yeah.
Some kind of public participation, because in the first instance, I think when the bulk was in the MA. When the bulk was in the MA, no comments were received. Now, I was saying no comments were received on the bulk. This document that we received is on public enterprise.
Chair, if I could just correct. The document that the honourable member is referring to is the department's document. The department goes through a process calling for public
participation.
Yes, public participation,
yes.
The department did not receive any response.
Yeah.
When the matter was introduced in Parliament and the National Assembly Portfolio Committee advertised, we did indeed receive, if I recall, it was 3 or 4 militant submissions. We didn't have oral hearings because it was unnecessary. It wouldn't have taken the matter any further. This committee has also done participation surveys. So indeed, all of the requirements around public participation have been met, Chair.
Chairperson, can we just get clarity of public participation in this committee? I don't recall us doing any public participation, but nevertheless, it's being said the department and yourself, they cannot be two processes. It's either you receive heads on one bulb and share those comments. There can never be two processes.
I think.
Because if it is, can I just finish, Jimmy? If it's in the NA, and the NA committee is sitting with it, it's one bulb. Whether it's the department or the entity, or it must be one bill, it must be dealt with like that. Can never be two processes. Now, what I'm reading, no comments were received, and it is public enterprise. You are in charge of the entities, not otherwise. It's one bill, one submission to Parliament. You make a submission as public enterprise. And that's how I understand the process of bills coming into Parliament. I don't see. Chairperson, can we just get clarity on and maybe a written proof of public participation when the bill went through the NA and it came here, the Section 75 bill, what public participation did we have also as a committee? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can I allow the secretary to take us through the process?
Good morning, Honourable Julius. The public participation that the committee undertook, we sent out the for public comments, and hence we got this submission. In fact, it came as three documents, but it's one entity that submitted. But the advert went out as early as December, and the closing date was in January. Hence, we got the submission. That's the only one we got. Not unless maybe the committee would love them to come and do oral presentation. But this is the written submission they submitted.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just need more information. Normally, we put it in certain newspapers and other forms of media. So that we can attract people and the stakeholders. We also send it to them for their comments. But it's difficult for me, you know, if the committee secretary, if we send out as a committee something in December, it closes in January. People are on holiday. Get the results for that matter. And I don't think there's enough time for them to concentrate on what is happening. And it might raise a problem. So my suggestion would be, Chairperson, mindful of the time, that we rather do it right, because it might come back to us. It might come back to people in the sixth parliament. Because these people can and will take our support. You know what happens nowadays with public participation. It's a big, big issue in Parliament. And people are taking us to court. I would suggest that, you know, one submission is not enough. You cannot say we just do it to conform. Conformity is not the ultimate way of a democratic government. You know, you must go out of your way so that people know what is happening, and we try to get these comments, Chairperson. I will submit that we try to give them, like you say, an oral submission, but also invite other people to that same meeting for their submissions if they wish to, and then we place it in a if that is possible, Chair.
On the words, at least you know how I feel about public participation. But looking at the information before me, I'm not saying my view. Is it needed for public participation, first of all, of to appeal a piece of legislation that you are no longer, you don't have any interest in? Because the bill was for the previous. That's how I understand it. I just want to understand. Because I agree with you. Because in my view, when I refer to the people, that's not a submission, I was saying, I don't feel like they explained to us, maybe we must consider to join them to or invite them to our other committee. I just want to understand from the legal people. It's just my understanding. The land rural development and land system.
Chair, in terms of public participation, they are now hard and fast rules. The courts have given us guidelines. I mean, look at the depth of the legislation, the amount of people that it's going to affect. So if I give an example, a bill like the National Minimum Wage Bill, they had to be widespread public participation because it was going to affect many, many South Africans. This particular bill, if we look at the content, all it's seeking to do is to give on the statute books effect to practically what already exists. So whether Parliament proceeds or does not proceed, whatever you do, even if you have a public participation process where for whatever reason you are of the view that we shouldn't proceed with this bill, it's not going to practically make any difference whatsoever because this company does not exist. It doesn't exist. It's already been liquidated, so there's nothing further that needs to be done. The whole purpose of this exercise was merely to clean the statute books and to assist the department who have to report on all the legislation that falls within their portfolio. So it means that every year they're reporting the same thing when it comes to this particular piece of legislation. The same story is being repeated. So that was the purpose of this chairperson. We can certainly open up a public participation process again, but I don't see that it would take the matter any further. The fact that we did advertise in December, there's nothing that prevents us from doing that. It's still working days, notwithstanding that everybody switches off. And the fact that we only got one submission chair, one is sometimes more than what we get in other more important bills. I know this committee is dealing with ICAMVA, which is another bill that I advise on in the MA and I'll advise again here. In that particular one, Chair, we made fundamental changes in the MA, yet we didn't receive a single submission. But you will see that bill I changed completely from start to end because I felt it was necessary. So certainly nothing prevents you from opening up the public participation process, Chair, but I don't see that it would take the matter any further, and then of course there's the issue of the added costs and the time frames that that would be affected if you do make a decision to do that.
Can I just also add on what the State Advisor said, just with a view to clarify what I consider maybe to be a misunderstanding here? The situation is as follows. As you know, Chair, once Cabinet approves that a bill must be put through Parliament, as a government department, you are required to call, to gazette it and ask for comments. And that's exactly what we did. We even have the gazette. We can provide you with the gazette. Where we publish this bill in the public gazette for 30 days, inviting comments. As a department, we never received any. There was no comment. And that's what we are referring to in that particular document. Then after that event that we put it now into the parliamentary process, and it was Parliament, the National the Portfolio Committee, out of its own wisdom, that decided to call for, let me call public participation. And the submission they got is the very submission that is before you today, for that very same group. That was the only submission, if I remember as well, that the Portfolio Committee also got. And the very same explanation that we are giving today around the debt submission is the very same explanation that the Portfolio Committee, that we also gave to the Portfolio Committee. That is, it was upon the basis that the Portfolio Committee said, we support, given that whatever submission they are making has got no bearing on the repeal itself, we support this repeal going forward. Nonetheless, U.S. Department on the side, make it a point that whatever issues you raise, whatever issues they raise, you resolve them separately from this particular process. That's why, Chair, just to give you a few, on the 28th of this very month, we will be reporting back to the Portfolio Committee on this very, the side issues, your land claims and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Even though, of course, the committee has already approved that it can go to the next stage. So I thought we should get that kind of particular clarity as to what did it do that we meant when we said we never received any comment. We gathered them the bill for 30 days as a department. We never received any comments. But when it went to the portfolio committee, there was the submission to the portfolio committee, and it got dealt with by the portfolio committee. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you. I want to say something.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My understanding is that this piece of legislative framework is obsolete and sufficient submission has been made that people should make submission. Did advertise, and it was equally also gazetted by the department. And then only submission made was from the same company. It is not really attracting a lot of interest. So I unfortunately going to differ with my colleague here to say we proceed.
Honourable Sapakuya, I do understand the Honourable Member's adjustments, the Minister, what's saying that we must also have our own processes. And I do understand in this instance, I don't see that adjustments saying, because there's nothing more of that company. In simple terms, how I simply understand, there is nothing, there is not a thing that is there that we need to protect and have a right to be protected. That one is the previous company was sold in 2008 to the submission. So, Honorable Division, in the light of that, I want us because in my understanding, it says nothing more about that company. It's not as an existing thing. It is sold to another company. There are other issues, like they were saying, we were separate. But can we, in our report, when we make a report, saying that this must go to, do we have the right to the Department of Transport and Public Works? What were you saying? I don't want this submission to be fall through the cracks. I want, there must be something on paper that is saying we refer this to that and that, because we must separate this there. Do you understand what I am saying?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's not about the company also, I agree with you, but it's on future impact that this bill might have on others and on us. Future bills that we might sit with, are we going to do the same thing? Are we now just running with it because this bill is sitting there? How long has it been sitting there? We are ending our term, the first parliament, and now it is expected of us to clear the backlog of the department. It's unfair. It's totally unfair. And based on the reasons given that there's no need for that, I agree with you, Chairperson, once again. We have our own processes of doing oversight, public participation. It's our public participation. Whatever we get from any committee or NA, or the department or the entity, it's yours. You can give it to us, you can submit it, but we need our own. We must have our own process, and that is legal. It's not out of our own wisdom, as a department put it. Legally, we must do our own oversight. And I just think that we didn't do justice to that. I don't think it's fair to expect from this committee to now run with it to clear legislation from the department in the first parliament. It can stand over. Let's do the right thing, Chairperson. Let's do the question.
It's 10 years now. I think what I would suggest is that for the comfort of all of us, we can invite those people who visit the mansion to have a balanced approach for the shape, for the comfort of the honorable members, that we are having our own, because it was out of our own efforts that we got that submission. So it's just, we need to call those people, that we hear them, but the outcome can be the same. If people don't think that after 10 years you are no pressurizing up to clean up your room. I don't want people to go out and have that feeling. We can make a ruling to say, no, we are not going to, we are satisfied. But at the other end, we are honorable members, we can have our own process. Like we have our own process. Tomorrow people will hold it against us and say, that we didn't do, you just rat off and what. So that the outcome will be the same, because I can see it will be the same outcome. I cannot see that it will be. But if those people can come, or willing to come on their own, you can invite them to come and make a presentation. And then the department in front of us, and then we can see that the people is satisfied with the presentation. I'm just saying, before we make an
I will agree with you, Chairperson. If you say not sufficient information was made by the secretary, but if the secretary, yeah, by the committee, yeah. But do you say, okay, yes, indeed, the committee did encourage people to make submission, and only one person has submitted. If the committee is not made sufficient encouragement for the people to submit, then I will agree with you. But if indeed the committee did sought for submission and only one submitted, we can do it so many times and it can remain one submission.
Thank you. Honourable members, if I can just refresh your mind.
Yeah,
so we will not be the first time. Remember with the publication, permanent publication, well, I have to do the same. I have to do it. That thing went so far because they were threatening us of all forces, because they don't understand. They will just go and people will advise them go for their want of public participation. They didn't give you opportunity. So I don't want come back. I have to in Parliament, prove, even prove, so that they won't be sent there. So I want to do my work like I have to do. Over to you for clarity.
Thank you. If I can just get clarity, the committee was expected to finalize this bill next week, since you only got this submission. So what I want to check now, are we expected to invite this consortium next week so that they do their oral presentation, since we don't have any other submission?
Is
there
time frame? What is the legal time frame? Can we invite them and then afterwards approve? We just want to ask.
So what you can do is invite them to give an oral presentation. We usually call for oral presentation when we need them to elucidate any of the issues that they've raised in the written. So what can happen is that immediately after the presentation, members are free to ask them questions. Members are free to ask myself as the legal advisor, the content advisor, the department, any follow-up questions in respect of anything new that's raised next week. If you're satisfied with all of the responses, then we can certainly proceed to do the line-by-line reading to adopt the report. It's going to be a very short report because it's a very short bill. Alternatively, if the members are not satisfied and you wish that we go back and do further research or anything else, then of course that's what we'll need to do and take the decision at that time. But nothing prevents you from doing it simultaneously. Normally, Chair, we would ask for time to prepare our legal responses and for the content advisor to prepare a response. But here we've got it quite detailed in the written submission, so I don't think that we're going to ask for time. I don't foresee
that we would ask for time on our side, but of course we can only let you know next week.
Thank you. Honourable members, are you now in agreement with me that we invite him?
Yes.
That we will inform if we cannot come. Up to them, we will invite them. Mm-hmm. If they're not coming, then thank you, because the department did indicate that they were interacting with them. So I assume they are a little understanding about what is happening here. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's on ESCOM that one. Yeah. But what page is it? That's one.